Did you see the tweet that KitchenAid put up?
Yeah, that was
that Choice KitchenAid tweet.
I didn't.
It was so fresh.
Let me find it.
Cross promo.
Cross promo.
They did a bit of cross promo. They did some tweet marketing. They live blogged. So KitchenAid USA's Twitter account tweeted, "Obama's GMA even knew it was going to be bad. She died 3 days before he became president."
What? Wow. The official KitchenAid?
Not immediately, but relatively soon after. "Hello, everyone. My name is Cynthia Soledad, and I'm the head of the KitchenAid brand. Deepest apologies for an irresponsible tweet. That is no way of a representation of the brand's opinion."
Okay, brands can't have opinions, first off. That's troubling.
Brands are people, so yes.
Yeah.
You tweet about blenders. The one thing you have to not do is tweet about anything other than blenders. Mm-hmm. Please.
They used Hootsuite wrong. That's why you don't use Hootsuite.
I guess.
Do you think it was an accident, or do you think this person was guys, I know. Like an accident. I want to live in a universe where a member of the KitchenAid Twitter team
thought this was a good idea.
Thought, I know what the KitchenAid audience is going to just love. Dead presidential family members. Get ready for guffaws, guys. Get ready for a lot of artsies on this one. And in that, right, they did succeed. Because it got blown up.
It got blown up, and that person, you know, they're going to lose their job, but it's going to give them a lot more time to work on their 5 minutes of stand-up material.
Let me tell you about it, Chris. It's today, the tech web, it's all about disruption.
Yep.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game to read.
My name is Griffin McElroy. And are we all going to talk like the aliens?
My name is Justin McElroy, and that gum you like is going to come back in style.
The cherry is green. Are there other people on this podcast?
Not that I know of.
Hi, my name is Chris Plant, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Russ Frostick, and I know the best game of the week.
Do you ever feel like you want to try something else? Just like once. Just like
he did try something. That one almost was like he fell asleep while he was doing it.
It's like jazz. Just got to go with it.
It's basically like jazz.
It's the words you don't hear that makes you great.
Justin, are you going to intro the show now that we've all, like, introduced ourselves, or?
This is the besties, Jesus. Where we take the top games and we pit them against each other to figure out which one is the best. And then we take that one and we make that one fight against the other one.
We're batting, like, 750 on words
this
said correctly.
This is unsustainable. This show is running on a fuel reserve that was expended 15 f***ing episodes ago.
Oh, what, you know, people never, podcasts always seem to die by the next episode not getting made. And I think that's a real miss. Mm-hmm. I think podcasts should there's gotta be a podcast that dies mid episode. Like the death is never scripted into it.
Yeah, sure. One day you're going to tune into the besties and be like, I wonder why this episode's 13 minutes long. And then that's how you'll know. It's like when you find the gold bars in Looper.
Right. Hey, yes, exactly.
Looper spoilers.
Looper spoilers. Man, that movie is good. I watched that movie yesterday. Can I tell you something about Looper that has nothing to do with the ending?
No, yeah. No, because then I'm just waiting for your stupid scene to come up while watching the movie.
No, don't worry, Justin. You can tell me.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm just talking to Chris, but it has literally nothing to do with the ending. We're watching the movie, and it is the final 10 minutes. And a fire alarm starts.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Yeah, the last 10 minutes of the movie, we had to vacate the theater.
Oh, no.
Stand outside for 20 minutes. And it was like an emotional climax. Like, it was peeking back off. Like, I was ready to emote. I was ready to feel. Mm-hmm. And my
Wait,
heart
there's
is
a climax
very rarely
to this movie? Why are you ruining the whole thing?
Yeah. So that was disappointing.
Do you want to know the saddest ending of a movie that I've ever experienced. I saw Doctor Strangelove in a movie theater. And in case you're the one person who doesn't know how the movie ends, a nuclear bomb drops and the whole world goes up in flames. So I'm seeing this in like a classic art house, and the bomb drops, and this like 70-year-old woman behind me goes, "Oh my God, no! What's happening?" And she was shocked.
Chris Plant, you are a snobby little bastard.
She's literally shocked. She was going into cardiac arrest that this is how the world ends, that at the end of this comedy. That's a pretty
big problem. I'm going into cardiac arrest as to how snobby you are with your art house cinema.
I'm sorry. Have you ever watched like an AFI Top 100? They're on ABC. Why is watching basic programming snobby?
Well, prefacing it with, I went to an art house cinema.
An art house cinema.
And saw a film that was 93 in the AFI Best 100 list.
Okay, it was number 4.
Sir, would you like some popcorn or perhaps a pipe?
I saw Closer in theaters by myself on the day after Christmas.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yikes. I saw Willard. Remember that movie?
That's a TV show.
End of sentence. This is, of course, the Besties, which we've already discussed.
Done that one.
We're going to talk about the new games of the week. Big changes coming for the Besties over the next couple weeks.
Well, I don't think anybody's requested it, but the fact that 4 people now listen to our show, I think is request enough.
So we're going to be making some big changes. But for this week, let's just keep it all the bad way.
Because then when the changes happen, everybody will think, God, it's about time for those changes.
Right. When you say changes, people are thinking it's probably about the rules or the structure.
It is.
And it is not.
In a way.
Totally. It definitely will be. Actually, people are probably just hoping for different hosts.
I think people are going to see the changes and they're going to go, no, really? Like... really?
No, I think we're gonna mix it all
people
up.
People are gonna love our new flavor.
Yeah.
So our current game is still FTL. Let's start going.
Okay, who was to be commissioner this week?
I think it's you.
Because you didn't play anything.
Ah, all right. I'll be the commissioner this week. I did, for the record, I did play things. I'm playing Fable the Journey, which obviously I can't talk about. And I'm playing Dishonored, which obviously I can't talk about.
I'm talking about that too. Can I have that next week?
We can't.
And I played Borderlands, which is good, by the way. I like that a lot better than Borderlands 1. I'm also reading. So, anyway, Griffin McElroy, tell me about your hit game.
My game is Pokemon, Black version 2, also White version 2, but I played Black version 2. Russ, please. I know you are about to make a joke about race, like you were going to try and incite some sort of race joke.
Mime.
Am I wrong?
Mime, mister.
Okay, so you're doing Mr. Mime. Here's the scoop. Here's the skinny. Here's why it is. Here's why it was not an awful game.
I don't know if I really want to hear your opinion, because I read the comments and you're not a real Pokemon fan.
Yeah, that's true. You got me. You got me, that one commenter. Way to give him a f***ing global soapbox upon which to broadcast his craziness. Chris Plant. Here's what's up with Black and White 2. It's a sequel to Black and White, which is unusual. Usually they go with, like, a tertiary fusion of the two, like, versions that came before it. Like, Blue and Red had Yellow, and Gold and Silver had Crystal. It's not really like that. It's not like the same game with a couple new things. It's got a new plot. It's got...
But the starters are the same.
Yeah, the starters are the same.
Why wouldn't you change that?
I think that would be confusing for people, because it's not the start. These games move in generations, and this is technically the same generation as Black and White. It's still... Let me get out of the way. It's still incredibly similar to the games that came out, you know, 56 years ago. Like, it's still basically the same format of you pick the starter, you catch the guys, you get the 8 badges, you beat the final 4 and the elite 4, and then you...
Is there Bulbasaur?
Not natively, no. There are 300 Pokemon that you can catch natively in this one, like, version of the... I guess the 2 versions of the game, which is more than any other game, which sounds like a totally superficial, dumb thing, but it keeps you from just running into the same guys over and over again, and then you sort of develop a strategy based around your team. Like, I could never settle on a team that could beat anything that was, like, that could beat everything that was thrown at it.
How many Bidoofs do you have on your team?
Six. It's an all Bidoof super squad.
Are they doing well?
They're not.
They have a good bite move. Oh,
Jesus. So that is one thing. The big new mode is PokéStar Studios, which I every single like mode like this that they've added to the games has been a complete miss for me. Like the musical mode where you do like these almost QTEs to dance along with these routines and dress up your poke, like that, none of that has ever appealed. Like they just jump completely away from the core stuff of what makes the series good for these pretty shitty minigames. But this mode is actually kind of like a Pokemon puzzle mode where you have to complete these different battle conditions using preset Pokemon. So you have to like figure out which moves to use in which order.
So it's like Madden, like those history games in Madden where you're like down by 14 points and you only have 30 seconds left. But with Pokemon?
I guess.
Sports.
That's not even in Madden anymore.
It's but it not. Used to be.
You're using Madden to illustrate a point in Pokemon.
It's like a four-year-old Madden.
I'm not sure who you just alienated, but you alienated him really hard.
Okay, so basically, like, your Squirtle has one arm and is really depressed. Win this battle.
Why would that happen?
I'm just saying that seems like a tough battle to win.
That sounds like a perverted reality. Mm-hmm.
You have Russ on your podcast, mm-hmm. and you want to make your podcast good.
Your Weepin' Bell just got infected with DDT. He's feeling really down about it.
He has six hours to live. Show him a good time.
Your Tobin Bell feels over-identified with the character Jigsaw, and he wants to break out.
So that's a thing. That's pretty good. There's the new stuff is going to sound completely silly when I describe it, but it adds a substantial amount to the game. That's not just like stupid appendages that nobody gives a shit about. Like I actually played a lot of the PokéStar puzzle.
Griffin, mode. what is the when you attack a new Pokemon? Yeah. What is it you're going back for? I mean, what is it that you are looking forward to getting?
My favorite thing about the series is putting together like a team, and I like that it's never. I like that I have, you know, up to this point like 600 options to do that with. And I like not just having the same team from the beginning of the game all the way to the end of the game. Like every other RPG that you can think of, first off, you're not dealing with as many characters. But second off, you find what you like early.
We should put stick quotes around characters because, let's be honest.
What?
It's not like Chansey is Cloud Strife.
What are you talking about? Video game characters in general are shallow. Like,
yeah, but Chansey doesn't have dialogue. Like, I'm not saying they're deep.
Most characters are art design.
I would say Chansey has more character development than anyone in Gears of War. It's out there. In fact, if somebody made an all Chansey,
did you forget about that?
Chansey.
I go back for that, and in this game, since there are just so many Pokemon, like that, I don't think my team was changing like hour to hour, which kept things really fresh.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
Which Pokemon would you make a real life pet, and why?
This is tricky.
That's a good question.
It is a good one. Oh God, I wouldn't want anything too humanoid, you know.
Yeah, so not Mr. Mime.
Definitely not Mr. Mime. Mr. Mime is basically a dude. You basically caught a dude.
A mime.
What about Ghastly? No,
Ghastly's too spooky.
Also, I bet Ghastly smells terrible.
And he also, you got that. As
a what about Hitmonchan?
Hitmonchan, also a dude. Punching dude. Like, I don't
Mewtwo?
Definitely don't want that.
Would you count Mewtwo as a dude?
Mewtwo can talk human English.
That's what I mean.
So, yeah, you, definitely.
You that's if, like having like maybe that's like having Danny DeVito live
no,
with
Danny,
you.
No, Danny DeVito is like Squirtle. It's just a bald man painted blue with a little tail on.
DeVito.
DeVito. I I see. I my your gut reaction is, of course, to say Pikachu.
No, or that's Pikachu, a horrible idea.
You know he would be needy. Yeah. You know, like you just know that you can't set him down for like 30 seconds to just do your business.
Yeah. Also, I want something that I can put in a fucking Pokeball. Stay in there. I don't want to deal with you right now.
Like a wife.
I think. Wait. Oh, I said something out loud that you said, just repeating it, but I didn't think about how awful it was before. Huh. That was not an agreement. I would probably go with Jinx, because you could really fuck the shit out of a Jinx.
Okay. That's unacceptable.
I prefer Mankey myself, but that's fine.
Whoa, this Jinx is a Pokemon?
Yeah, it's a cat.
Yeah. No, Jinx is like a sexy woman.
What?
A Jinx is like a Jinx... JYNX. I'll drop an image in. You are gonna love how this Pokemon looks. Well, that's blackface.
Jinx does kind of look like blackface. That's weird.
Wait, yeah. Why'd you change?
I take it back. I do not want to fuck this Pokemon at all.
I don't want this Pokemon to exist on the planet, please. It's a horrifying Jim Crow caricature.
It is bamboozled Pokemon edition. It's nightmarish.
I hate it. I hate this Pokemon.
You were asking which Pokemon I would most like want to bone down on, right? Oh God, what am I saying? Ditto. Of course, Ditto can transform into any Pokemon. Next question.
Wait, isn't that your nickname?
It is. Next question, please.
Okay, my next question is, are we done with this segment?
Yeah, I think we are done with
it. It sounds like it's just Pokemon again.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Okay. I mean, it is. If you haven't played a Pokemon, I think it's the best one to do so far.
Really? But you don't know all the backstory.
What?
All the intrigue that's gone on before.
Yeah, okay, how did Ash get here?
Here's the backstory. You have done this exact thing 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ash isn't in it. Ash died.
Wow. Ash died?
Ash died at
what's
the end of Pokemon
What's your guy's
Yellow.
Name now?
Oh, his name?
Yeah.
His name is Dash.
Is there some part of you, as a Poke fan, is there a part of you that longs for some sort of more meaningful reinvention?
Yes,
of this
of course.
Series?
Every
like, what if you were building a team, but you were doing something where the purpose was beyond personal gain?
Jump to. It doesn't even have to be like that. Like, look at Pokemon Conquest, which came out earlier this year, which was basically
okay,
had this.
I'm looking at it.
Okay, it basically had the same format as a Pokemon game in terms of catching and training. But then it put it in like this turn-based RPG format that was really, I mean, it had its fair share of faults as a strategy game, but the core combat of it was nice. It worked really, really well. Like something like that, like just fucking anything,
yeah,
would make this great. Like, why not make a 3D open world Pokemon game? Like, do that shit on Wii U. There. There's $1 billion for you.
Too expensive.
too expensive?
Yep. They're making $1 billion already. Why would they spend more money to make another $1 billion?
Because
if they keep putting out the same sprites over and over again, it's cheap.
No. It's my idea for Microsoft. Make a really, really beautiful Pokemon clone. And then put that game out on Windows 7 too, so I can play it on some fancy high def console. And then I'm like, hey, I want to take my Pika Xbox wherever I go, and then I can play with it and train him on the go.
Yeah.
And I can take him back and put him in the game.
That's a good point. The reason why this series hasn't evolved is probably because there is no competition for it whatsoever. If you have ever played a clone of it, like a game that anybody developed on PC or iOS, or even other like franchises that are similar to this, they're shitty. They're like not nearly as good as this thing. And without that competition, there's no need for them to, if you'll pardon the pun, evolve.
You know, I've just realized something. In Japan, they put a lot of less effort into naming these characters because like Haunter is just Ghost. Krabby is just Crab. Like, guys, put a little effort.
Got it.
This
cool.
is the most I have ever talked about Pokemon.
Crab.
Since yeah. I was 14.
We're gonna move
this
on.
This is like
I wanna
the
hear...
48th I've ever talked most about Pokemon.
Chris Plant, let me hear about your game. What do you got cooking?
I got a game called Super Monsters Ate My Condo. And you might have actually...
It sounds like an Adult Swim jam.
It is an Adult Swim jam, and it already kind of exists as just Monsters Ate My Condo. And the premise of both is such. There are two monsters on the left and right side of the screen, and in the middle is a stack of condo floors. And you align... They're different colors, like red, blue, yellow, green. And if you align...
I've heard of those colors.
Yeah, you know them. And then when you align three, they become a bronze. And if you align three bronzes, they become silver. And if you align three silver, they become gold. Three gold, diamond. And then you can feed these to your monsters, who are on opposing sides, to unlock special point powers, like a plus two multiplier that like stabilizes your tower, or a just a plus 10 multiplier, or anything
hypno
like
beam?
That. I don't think there's a hypno beam.
That's a that's
the problem
Pokemon
with the
stuff.
Game. Yeah, the problem with the original game is that sounds like really complex, and it was really hard to understand how to build these combos, and there are so many different multipliers, and it's tough to know when to use what. The great thing about Super Monsters Ate My Combo, the Super Edition, is there's actually kind of a level structure a la Jetpack Joyride, where it gives you goals, so you're learning how to play the game by accomplishing these tiny, tiny goals that get tougher and tougher. And by the end, you actually have an idea to play what is a really complex, I think, puzzle game. I think it's much more complex than, say, something like Tetris. And it's really fun and really rewarding, you know, as a Subway game. And it looks great. When I say Subway, I mean on the Subway.
Not eating a Subway sandwich?
Not eating a Subway sandwich. Though you could. You only need one hand to play it.
Yeah,
you do. I don't know about a foot long would be tough with just one hand.
Yeah, it is. Come on, give me more. Yeah.
You know, penis sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on. Yeah, maybe one more try.
Dick sandwich.
You ain't got anything?
Okay.
Okay. You know, like Adult Swim, I just wish every app developer, they just came up with good ideas and then they took it through the Adult Swim factory and they pushed it through that, and then that game came out on the App Store. Because they're so much more polished than everything else, and the art is funnier. It feels fresher. Even though they're doing a lot of the same things as, you know, companies like NGMoco, the games just feel good. So I think that's a good idea. You have my blessing to do that, internet world and developers.
Is to give their games to Comedy Central?
No, to Adult Swim.
Nobody's going to do
that. Even though... What?
I don't understand what you're saying. You want people to give their hard-earned work?
No, I want them to work in tandem. I want them to come up with good ideas. The only problem is the publishing structure for Adult Swim. They get a lot of money when a development team partners with them. I mean, they get advertisement during Adult Swim, which is great, but I don't fully understand the idea of publishing, not self-publishing on the App Store, like not getting 100% of the cash. So I guess I understand now, because you can't browse games on the App Store anymore. But we're way off topic.
Get off that soapbox, yeah. Plant.
Is the game fun?
I just get charged.
Yeah, so basically Plant is saying, indie developers, listen up, join a multinational corporation and use their powers, and so they bleed you dry.
That's why don't you make some real games, you fucking nerds?
Yeah, really. Where's your city building free to play?
Is that an Adult Swim thing? I don't think they have one.
They should.
So they can make fat cash.
Fat dollars.
Fat stacks. Are we done talking about this game?
God,
yeah,
please.
I mean, it's simple. It's not going to win this week. It's very fun.
It might win this week. This week is.
You should download it. If you don't want to download that, you can win the other Adult Swim game. I think it's called Major Mayhem. That is pretty, pretty
is it
good.
Spelled ham like the pork, or is that just your accent talking?
No, I wish it was me. I think I brought Major Mayhem 1 week. What was that pig game I brought in?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was bad. Download it. That's it.
Have you guys ever gotten an MRI?
No, but I've seen a lot of House episodes, so I pretty much have.
Okay.
I have metal in my face, so if I get an MRI, I turn into Wolverine, and it pulls out of my skin.
That's horrifying. I'll tell you, they ask if you got tattoos, because apparently it used to be a thing that they would use metal shavings to make the black seem shinier.
Yeah, for sailors.
Ooh. Yeah, so that is, that makes for an unpleasant afternoon.
What if the sailors have VD as well?
Do you
that
think
has no bearing why on would the MRI. That
listen to the things you say sometimes. Does it
please just all I ask is you think about them before you let them
it's
out.
It's not of, like VD is prison. Like nano machines that go into your blood and stop.
Future VD is
you just that's I know how they're gonna spread. VD will yeah,
yeah. VM. You guys also yeah. Forget that Russ doesn't know what the basic elements are. Mm-hmm. He has to look sure. at it and he's like, plastic? Sure.
That's a problem. But anyway, I had an MRI yesterday. I got a hearing thing that I'm trying to figure out. And it is as though it was designed to be the most unpleasant experience that you could possibly have. If you have not had one, you put on scrubs. That's not great. And then
I love that show.
That felt pretty comfy. Yeah, I wish you could watch Scrubs. It doesn't work that
way. Was the opening in the back or the front?
They're Scrubs.
Paint a picture.
So...
There's, I it's don't like think there's an, pants. I don't think doctors are walking around with their dick hanging out.
So you lie down on a tray where they're going to slide you into this person oven. You lie down on a tray and then they're like, are you comfortable? And I'm thinking, yeah, not so bad. And then they lower this like face mask over your head so you can't move your head. Mm. And you're like, oh man, it's starting to get a little cramped here. And then they jam foam on either side of your head in the face mask. So you can't move your head. And then they slide you into a tube where you lie there for 25 minutes as the machine makes sounds that sound like a Skrillex concert. It, no exaggeration, is so loud they have to give you earplugs so your hearing is not damaged by the sound of magnets bombarding you with magnet rays. The good news about this is while you're and you can't move your arms because it's like this little tube. So I'm completely claustrophobic. It's like being in a coffin. That's a nightmare. But at least I could think about that for the 25 minutes I'm in there. I could reflect on the fact that after I got out, I got to get an injection of dye and then go back in for 15 more
minutes. And that dye, let me tell you guys, that dye feels great in your blood.
Oh boy!
When you get that dye in your blood, like you know how sometimes your blood just feels really, really good. This is one of this is one of those times.
Is it like when you get an anesthetic and your entire body feels heavy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually feel different?
Oh yeah, from the dye, you can definitely feel everything.
Yeah, you can feel it. It's not the same temperature as your blood.
No. It's a different temperature, which is great.
It's a different whack temperature that you don't like.
So it's like you went to DQ, but. Like poured it into your entire body.
Exactly.
Awesome.
It's like the hot and cold. Imagine a new kind of temperature called cold, and it's both of them, and it's your blood now. Now it's
also
your
German.
Now it's your blood.
I had to have them slide me out when they first put me in because I could not. I was not spiritually prepared for how narrow.
You
it
called
was.
Your
was
Sherpa, like, and you said, "Sherpa, help me." He's like, "Is your blood already cold?" And you were like, "Yes." He's like, "You're halfway there, brother."
I literally shouted, "Oh, nope!" They had to slide me back out.
Why can't they just like knock
all
you
the
out?
Things that you've all those things that you've described so far sound like things that you love.
Yeah.
Getting injections, being in a tunnel, mm-hmm. being in a coffin. Sometimes you fool yourself into thinking that, like, man, 2012, everything is on the edge. Mm-hmm. Like, they had to put me in a tube for 40 minutes to take a scan of my head. On Star Trek, that's literally like wave the tricorder, you know?
It's like one of those cameras that you have to sit still for like a minute and a half for it to take a picture.
Yeah.
You should have just gone
it's
to
like
the airport.
Civil War photography.
Yeah. They have those at the airport. You just stand up and they scan you and you leave. It takes 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's
just
good.
Just look in my eyes and ask and tell me if it looks like I have brain cancer. Do I look like someone with cancer of the
I'm
brain?
Telling you, it really, you could have learned Portuguese really fast. You could have fallen in love with whatever that actress was in Phenomenon.
You could spin sunglasses with your mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
You make friends with Kevin Spacey. Is he in that movie? I don't remember.
No, you're thinking of
K-Pax. Oh, yeah, K-Pax.
Can we go a f***ing episode without talking about K-Pax?
No, we can't. One other quick vignette before we move on I wanted to share with you guys. I went to the vet today, and there have to be normal people who have animals that need medical care. but they are for some reason never there at the same time I am.
Did you go it's during
always,
the day?
It's always like one. It's always yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's always like one giant fat guy in a Legend of Zelda T-shirt with a poodle, and a lady and her like eight dogs that are just climbing over her like some sort of plague. But when I was in there today, there was a woman waiting with her two Cocker Spaniels. And this very odd woman came in behind me while I was purchasing some medicine for my cat. And this woman gasps upon seeing these dogs. She said, "Oh my, look at those cockers." So I'm like, uh-oh, gotta keep it together. She's like, "Those are some, I know how cockers are. It's okay if they bark. I know how they are. You know, I got two. How old are these cockers?" She says, "No, I shit you not. You know, I got two cockers at home, and I'm thinking about getting a third." Her voice is like this, perhaps even more so. She sounds like Peter Lorre if Peter Lorre was a ghost, and it is a nightmare. But yeah, she went on to say cockers like seven or eight more times, and I'm just willing the woman to hurry up and check me out faster so I can please go, because I cannot handle
this woman. That is one of those words that only becomes funny when a certain dialect is spun into it, like when it becomes part of the weave of the word. Like, yeah. If I say cockers right now,
I don't know, it's pretty good.
Well, I'm also of Appalachian descent.
Let me hear cockers. Like that?
Okay. Is that how we talk?
No, I'm just
hello,
to...
I'm from the Appalachian region.
Yeah.
Clean coal.
Pretty much what I hear.
Okay. Well, you might want to get your own MRI done.
We have one more game to talk about, and it's from Monsieur Russ Frostick. Russ, what is the thing?
Okay, so you guys have not played this game at all, ever. But I'm going to spread the love and let you know about this game. It's called Super Crate Box.
Nope, Jesus. We already brought that game.
What? No, we didn't.
Yeah,
we didn't. No. The first time it came out, it was before we even started doing this podcast. So, yeah.
Did you hear that? That was the best use of police coming to you. Uh-huh.
So I am bringing Super Crate Box for the PlayStation Vita. And I know you guys might scoff at the fact that I'm bringing a game that came out essentially a year ago, but it is really, really good to play Super Crate Box with an actual controller. Like, I don't think I realized how different and more satisfying the game would be with like buttons, but
you definitely didn't, because when it was on iPhone, you're like, "Oh, this is the end of buttons.
What?
With the power of a swipe, we won't need buttons anymore."
Is that what I sound
like? Have you played Super Crate Box?
Oh, you're still using buttons. Cocker. I'm from Appalachia.
With a simple swipe, tap, tap, I killed all the bad guys.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I would say, so it's like $3.50 through, so you go to the like PlayStation Store and you go to PlayStation Mobile, which just launched this week, and they have
is that really all it costs?
What?
Is that really all it costs?
It costs $3.50, yeah.
I've seen so many tweets where people are like, it costs like four times as much as it does on iPhone.
I mean, what technically it does, but...
No, on iPhone it's still, it's $2.
Oh, it's...
$3.50 is so cheap.
I know, it's, people are ridiculous. It is a little bit of a disappointment that, like, and this isn't their fault, because though Sony hasn't allowed for leaderboard and trophy support yet on PlayStation Mobile games, but it is a little bit of a bummer to not be able to compare your high score with friends on your list.
I can compare with you right now. Right now, I have 260.
I don't remember how. I think I have 270.
Oh, shut your...
Yeah, I beat you. It was really good.
Wait, guys, I have 310.
There's no way that anybody... Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the hardest mode and the hardest level.
Oh, on that one, I have 450.
How do
I have
do that?
1,700. Anyway, it's really, really good. And there's actually a few PlayStation Mobile games on there. There's probably like 15 or so. I haven't played really any of them apart from Super Crate Box. But they're getting some good user ratings, and it's kind of encouraging because people that own Vitas right now haven't really had any, like, a ton of games to play over the past, you know, few months. So it's kind of nice to have this hopefully continuing log of mobile games coming to the platform.
It is exciting. It's a great... It didn't click with me, like, the idea of what they were doing with it until I picked up Super Crate Box. Yeah. And then the thought of, like, I don't have an Android phone, but if I had the option to take the iOS games that I've already bought and then put them on a console also that has buttons on it, maybe that seems really roundabout. Like, why not just have the games on console with buttons anyway? But, you know, that's not always an option.
Yep.
No, I mean, that sounds great, to be able to own a game on multiple platforms, you know, mobile and home.
Well, yeah, technically you can.
Not just multiple platforms, the dream. I mean, not the dream.
Not just multiple platforms, but, like, incongruous platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, Super Crate Box, PlayStation Vita, it's a game on the PlayStation Vita. There aren't very many of them, so you might as well jump out and take advantage of this one. It's quite fun. That's really all the effort that I'm willing to put into this game, because people know pretty much what Super Crate Box is about, I think.
Why is this? Did we talk about what the game is at all? So just so people know,
okay,
just
fine.
In case, you're a little green guy, and you collect, you're on a static screen, and enemies come down at you, and you shoot them or slash them, depending on what weapon you grab.
Yeah,
and you want to keep bouncing around in the screen collecting weapons.
It's like that mini game that was in Super Mario Brothers 3. You know,
you mean the original Super
Yeah,
Mario
but
Brothers.
Well, the original Mario Brothers, but most people don't know that. Yeah, it's a really, really fun mobile game that you can play with a controller on the Vita. And I'm really hoping, I mean, there are a ton of iOS games that I would love to play with a controller, so I'm hoping that more people sort of follow suit and bring stuff to PlayStation Mobile, because it is excellent.
That's I think there's I really also potential for games to get better when people stop designing them only to work around
touchscreen
controls. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like some people just take the path of least resistance when developing mobile games, because they're like, fuck it, it's not going to have buttons, so let's make it, you know, we don't want it to be imprecise, so let's make it dumbed down.
Well, yeah, I think it goes both ways. I think having a limitation like touch has led to some pretty clever gameplay, like, ideas. Like a game like Infinity Blade hadn't really existed before that. So, it was touch that sort of inspired them to do it in that style.
I'm saying there are three different types of games. Games that embrace that limitation and do awesome stuff with it. And then there are games that have to use that limitation because they have no other option, because the type of game they're trying to make wouldn't work with those controls. But then there's a third type of game that just use those limitations and sort of exploit them when they just make, like, a super, super simple game that doesn't need to be as simple as it is. And I think a lot of the crappier games on Android and iOS fall into that category. And I would say that having a cross-development or a cross-platform development option where you can have, you know, controls in addition to virtual controls will see that third category diminish.
When the iPhone first came out and Jobs talked about this, it was... There couldn't be controls because people would not be motivated to use the touchscreen. And I think that is smart. I think that was right at that time. But I think so many successful games exist with the touchscreen, and it's people have an idea of how to use it now that they can coexist on one device.
No.
That's what I don't exist.
No.
You don't think so? You think the second...
I just think one device that you're carrying around all day with you is not...
What?
There's a reason why it's just touch. It's because it's easy to carry around with you. It's small. And it's for everything else you're using that's not games related, you don't need a controller.
I'm not saying it has to have a controller on it. I'm just saying that controller support, Apple goes out of their way to not allow controller support on that device.
But it's starting to become untrue, because now we have Gameloft and Duo just partnered to put a controller out.
Yeah, but they suck. They're using your Bluetooth. All it needs is the option to plug something into the port.
What? Why? What's wrong with Bluetooth?
There's a lag when you're using Bluetooth. It is not as precise as actually using something that plugs into the system.
Let me hit you guys with this. What if there was a cell phone that had buttons on it for games, for video gaming, and it was also a cell phone, and you had to talk into the side of it?
Okay, I'm liking that idea. Can we get it shaped like a taco?
It could be taco-shaped, sure. I don't see why not. In fact, I'm going to bring you on as the chief member of our design board, Russ Frost.
Awesome.
This
for taco design.
Talking into the side of it, though, is imperative because I feel like that feature is going to be very engaging for... Wait a minute! What if we worked somehow how engaging this Side Talk Taco game...
You want to, I can, wait, I got the name.
Justin, you are now our president of branding. Go. Chris Plant, you want in on this money train too, or?
Wait, are you just talking about maybe like a game where we just like talk with our friends? We'll call it Talk with Friends.
Okay. Oh my God. Everyone on board.
Woo woo. The money train's pulling into Big Cheese Station, guys.
I just had another idea. A game, portable game console, roughly the size of a Game Gear with a black and white touchscreen that internets. And we'll call it internet. www.gameconsole. Nope. No, it's in there somewhere.
I want to suggest game.com, but I want to make sure that we don't get the game.com URL.
Okay.
That's essential.
It's imperative.
Do you think people are going to be upset when this is what polygon.com actually is?
If we bust out...
Exactly.
If we go live with game.com.org, is that going to hurt our bottom line? Rush Frustic, internet czar.
I don't think that's the best way to invest. I think... Sticking with the taco design, and then maybe evolving it next year into more of a taquito.
What if you could strap this bitch to your head? You got one eyepiece, and it's all red up there, and you can't make phone calls or internet on it. It takes gaming to a new zone.
Wait, I want to have to lay down.
Is there a screen on this eye patch, or is it just black felt?
It's the band itself is going to be the cheapest felt that we can find.
Okay,
and we got to make you look. Kind of like I don't know, like a shitty cyborg from like a shitty 80s movie.
So it's a portable game system. I think people should play on a desk, though. I don't think people should be able to play wherever they want.
No, you have to sit, you're strapped to a desk, and the screen on your eye shield is actually just a broken Nokia screen with a little Mario painted onto it.
We're going to good places right now.
Yeah.
I was going to R Zone, actually. I don't know where you guys were.
Oh, really? I was going Virtual Boy, but whatever. Okay.
I had forgotten the R Zone existed.
Yeah, I had one.
Oof. They should have called it the Noogie Magnet.
I had one.
You see somebody wearing that, you're going to punch them in the face legally.
I had Primal Rage on it, and I think a racing game, but mostly I just played Primal Rage. It was a Tiger handheld that you strapped to your face.
Yeah, take it to the limit. And you know what? They used to call the place where you'd buy video games.
At Toys R Us and R Zone, yeah. It was very confusing. They did not carry the R Zone, though, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not going to be easy to pick a winner. Let's get 30 more seconds from each of you about why your game deserves the honor. Okay.
I'll go first.
Yeah, thanks.
It's Super Crate Box with buttons.
Got it. Chris Plant.
It's Monsters Ate My Combo with a learning
tutorial. Wait, isn't it Condo?
I can't say it.
Monsters Ate My Condo.
Condo.
Has lots of combos.
Dummy.
Monsters Ate My Combo.
They were pretzel and peanut butter.
That's the excuse I used my mom to get her to buy me more.
Hippos ain't my Fritos.
Mom!
That's not fair. I didn't get to eat these.
I didn't eat them. I don't know how the crumbs got there. The monsters left crumbs everywhere.
Monsters.
But this time, the monster said next time they wanted pepperoni and pretzel.
My game, Crumble Monsters Black and White 2, it's the longest of all the games that everyone brought here.
Just in terms of the title?
And the length of the game. I put 40 hours into it for the review. So
solely because of the work that Greg Griffin had to invest to bring this game to us, I am choosing Pokemon as this week's winner. There will be no discussion about whether or not it's better than FTL.
Can I use the clout that I've earned from this win to bring Little Big Planet back from the dead from
unacceptable.
Last week?
You want it to?
There was.
You wanted to run into the ring, man. WWE style.
There was rioting in the streets outside of my house after the last episode went up. People were confused and scared, and I don't blame them. We got to change. A change is the winds of change are blowing, like Bob Dylan said.
Nope.
Here comes the change, everyone. Get ready, like Bob Dylan once said in his famous song, "Changes." Changes, changes.
Mm-hmm. Changes, changes.
Piano Man.
Changes, Piano Man. Thank you for listening to the Besties. Again, big changes coming on the horizon. Stay tuned for all of that news and scoops.
I'm bringing Dishonored next week. So
no, I'm bringing it.
So everybody heard
it. I called it already.
I already called it.
Well,
nope. Also, Plant will be replaced by Beau Bridges.
And I will be replaced by the Fabulous Baker Boys. If you want to read our stuff, you can go to theverge.com/gaming for now, but soon it's going to be polygon.com. This is a Polygon production. And please subscribe on Tunes and rate us there. Give us a review. And that's going to do it for us on the besties.
If you have suggestions.
Suggesties.
If you have suggesties to make it better, I would love to hear them. Because we have changed the show drastically, I would say twice, based entirely on user suggestions.
Here's a question. If you could see one of our special guests who have visited us in the past, in real life.
Oh, God.
Who would it be?
It's got to be Jean-Pierre. Although we've seen, not Jean, Jean-Baptiste, sorry. We've seen him before, though.
Did you?
Or was it Jean-Baptiste's brother pretending? Oh my God, the plot.
Was that Don Baptiste?
Don Baptiste is actually an impersonator of an impersonator.
I'm Ron Baptiste.
Be sure to join us again next week for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends play the world's... Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?